वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 82 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड कृष्णा मीट्स द इनहैबिटेंट्स ऑफ वृंदावन श्लोक वर्स नंबर 32। तम दृष्ट्वा वृष्णयो हृष्टास् तन्वः प्राणम् इवोत्थिताः परिशश्वजिरे गाढम् चीर दर्शन कातराः। तं दृष्ट्वा वृष्णयो हृष्टास् तन्वः प्राणमिवोत्थिताः परिशस्वज्जिरे गाढम् चिरदर्शनकातराः। तं दृष्ट्वा वृष्णयो हृष्टास् तन्वः प्राणमिवोत्थिताः परिशस्वज्जिरे गाढम् चिरदर्शनकातराः। तं दृष्ट्वा वृष्णयो हृष्टास् तन्वः प्राणमिवोत्थिताः परिशस्वज्जिरे गाढम् चिरदर्शन कातराः। Matajis. Tanva prana me vachita
ಚಿರದರ್ಶನ ಕಾತರ ತಂ ದೃಷ್ಟ್ವಾ ವೃಷ್ಣಯೋ ಹೃಷ್ಟಾಸ್ ಕನ್ವ ಪ್ರಾಣಂ ನಿವೋತ್ಥಿತಾಃ ಪರಿಶಸ್ವಜಿರೇ ಗಾಢ ಚಿರದರ್ಶನ ಕಾತರಾಃ
ತಂ ಹಿಂ ನಂದ ದೃಷ್ಟ್ವಾ seeing vrishnayah the vrishnis hrishtah delighted tanvah living entities pranam their vital air eva as if utthitah rising parishasvajire they embraced him gadham firmly chira after a long time darshana in seeing kataraha agitated translation seeing nanda the vrishnis were delighted and stood up like dead bodies coming back to life Having felt much distress at not seeing him for so long, they held him in a tight embrace. Text 33. Vasudeva parishvajya samprita prema vivhala smaran kansa kritan kleshan putranya samcha gokule. Translation. Vasudev embraced Nanda Maharaj with great joy. Beside himself with ecstatic love, Vasudev remembered the troubles Kansa had caused him, forcing him to leave his sons in Gokul for their safety. Krishna Ramo Parishvajya Pitarav Abhivadyacha Na Kinchano Chatu Premna Shashru Kantho Kurud Tvaha. Translation, O best, O hero of the Kurus, Krishna and Balaram embraced their foster parents and bowed down to them. But their throats were so choked up with tears of love that the two lords could say nothing. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. After a long separation, a respectful child should first offer obeisances to his parents. Nanda and Yashoda gave their sons no opportunity for this. However, for as soon as they saw them, they embraced them. Only then could Krishna and Balaram offer their proper respects. Om Jnanatimirandhas Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashchatya Deshatarine ವಂಚಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯೈವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ So, in this chapter, the devotees from Dwarka along with Krishna and Balaram and the devotees from Vrindavan who were in separation from Krishna and Balaram, they are meeting together at the holy place of Kurukshetra. Generally, this is a lesser known fact about Kurukshetra. The most well received and the most popular event that is remembered in relationship to Kurukshetra is the war that happened at Kurukshetra. From the Gaudiya Vaishnav point of view, there is another event that is as important or is as fondly remembered by devotees, and that is when Krishna and Balaram, they could meet the residents of Vrindavan at Kurukshetra after so many years. Krishna was still in his pre-teens when he left Vrindavan, and now he was a young man with a family, with wives, with children, and Balaram too. So many years had passed, and now they are with their very eyes, these eyes that were longing to see Krishna and Balaram, that were used to seeing Krishna and Balaram every day. The residents of Vrindavan had brought those very same eyes to Kurukshetra, and they could see their beloved lords, Krishna and Balaram. So this is a very, very special place, Kurukshetra. And also, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gives one more understanding or another darshan, a viewpoint, a drishtikon about the holy place of Kurukshetra. He calls this place as the most important place for rendering service. Thakur Bhaktivinoda, when he describes the events that transpired when the residents of Vrindavan met Krishna and Balaram, as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam and other literatures, other Puranas, he says that the residents of Vrindavan, and especially the gopis, and Srimati Radharani in particular, they were so overwhelmed seeing Krishna, seeing Balaram, and that desire was so great that they should bring Krishna and Balaram back to Vrindavan, that within their minds during the quiet hours of the night, when they could not sleep, during those quiet hours where they had, you know, sometimes night time is the only time when you feel you are the, you can do whatever you want because you are so alone and you feel like no one else will be watching you. Somehow there are various ways that at night one feels either very fearful or one feels very confident. Those extremes of emotions are there. So at night, the residents of Vrindavan, including the gopis and in particular Srimati Radharani, they built chariots in their mind. And they wanted to carry Krishna and Balaram from Vrindavan to, from Kurukshetra to Vrindavan, or from Dwarka to Vrindavan. They bring him back to Vrindavan. So that was the advent or the seed of the Rath Yatra pastime. And Thakur Bhaktivinoda says, and therefore the devotees who are followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who are followers of Rupa and Raghunath, these devotees, their efforts are most needed in Kurukshetra because the residents of Vrindavan, they are simple villages. Whereas we all of us, you know, we are city bred people, we have our iPhones and we have our gadgets and we have our technologies. So we are in one sense seemingly more capable. So our capabilities could be used to help the residents of Vrindavan bring the chariot back from Kurukshetra to Vrindavan. So that is another viewpoint about Kurukshetra. So Kurukshetra brings these events, or it brings these ideas, these concepts, these longings to the mind of a devotee. Now, today, we are speaking about the meeting between the two clans that are connected to Krishna. One is the Vrishni clan, the devotees or the relatives of Krishna and Balaram in relationship to Krishna's connection to Vasudeva and Devaki, that is Dwarka people. And then we have the clan from Vrindavan, the Brajabasis. So they are the Vrishnis and the Brajabasis. The Brajabasis are connected to Krishna because of his relationship to Nanda Baba and Yashoda Mai. And in both these relationships, Krishna is receiving the affection of a child from either Nanda Baba and Yashoda Mai or from Vasudev Ji and Devaki Maiya. So Krishna is receiving the affections, or he is receiving the he's tasting the mood of Vatsalya Ras, including the devotees too. And both of them have now come. So generally when an event like that happens, there could be some competitive spirit or there could be some misunderstandings that could arise. And it is interesting how Krishna and Balaram try to manage the situation and keep both satisfied. You know, they go to meet Nanda Baba and Yashoda Mai and they pacify them. Then they come back to Vasudev and Devaki and convince them that we are not going away. Because Vasudev and Devaki are now really concerned that Krishna and Balaram, what if they want to go back to Vrindavan? How can we stop them? Because the love of the Brajavasis is so very intense. So, many events transpire there where Krishna and Balaram, their example and the way they interacted with this, both these sets of devotees, both this class of devotees, helps us understand how to deal in situations like that, how to be a little more considerate and how to understand each one's needs and accordingly reciprocate. So Krishna and Balaram did not use their supernatural powers to reciprocate with them. They just used their affectionate relationships that they had to reciprocate with them. They did not reciprocate with them as God. They reciprocated with them as their sons. And they could satisfy both the sects of children. So this is also interesting that ultimately if relationships are of paramount importance, then it is those relationships that also give us guidelines, or they also show us ways how to maneuver in particular situations, how to adjust to particular situations. However, if those relationships are not properly understood, if those relationships are not reciprocated with, then it becomes difficult to maneuver through the similar situations. It becomes very difficult. Like Kansa could not maneuver through the relationship that, okay, my sister Devaki is my most beloved sister and her son would also be the cause of my death. So for him, it was difficult to maneuver, to understand, because there were certain vested interests that he had. But Krishna and Balaram here could easily maneuver through these relationships with both the sects of people, with both the Brajabasis and the Vrishnis being together. So for those of us who want to understand lessons from this, then we will have to spend time and energy going into it. Because simply by listening to certain lessons stays in our memory only for so long. Only when we need this in our own lives, we could pick up the Srimad Bhagavatam and we could go through this pastime, especially the 10th canto, 82nd chapter, and we could understand, and those lessons will be helpful in those times. So it is helpful that we know what is available where in times of need, especially lessons that could be derived from the Srimad Bhagavatam, because then it becomes more practical than intellectual. Then it becomes practical application than just some intellectual collection. Like sometimes devotees get, or even general people get into the habit that if you have a hard drive space, then you go on collecting things so that you will listen to it later on. Somehow, the amount of things that we actually accumulate could take us a few more lifetimes in this material world to go through. And maybe that is one of the precursors for a future lifetime also. You know, storing so many things on our hard drive, you know, this, that. So anyways, So that is one aspect, that Kurukshetra also represents the meeting of the Brajabasis. It also represents the place where the most service is necessary according to Bhakti Vinod Thakur, because Radharani is so distraught and the gopis are so distraught that they're calling out for help, that please help us bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. Secondly, if relationships are understood and they are applied in a particular situation, you see, relationships may be there. Like Devaki and Kansa, again, the relationship was there. But at one point of time, the application from Kansa's point of view is different. Before that, Kansa was ready to become the charioteer, the driver for his sister's Devaki when she was about to be married. But at one point of time, because of certain circumstantial situations, Kansa's relationship with his sister immediately changed. He was ready to even kill her. So, just because they are related and they have good relationships doesn't mean that circumstances may not test that. And certain circumstances may arise. And hence, padam padam yat vipadam natesham. There is always a danger in this material world, and at the same time, in the spiritual world, it is always dynamic. Just because there is a relationship, like somebody asked Srila Prabhupada that, if we become Krishna conscious and go back home, back to Godhead by chanting Hare Krishna, then what do we do? Prabhupada said we go on chanting Hare Krishna. But that doesn't mean it is going to be as difficult as, you know, what we are experiencing now. It doesn't mean that it will be as pleasurable as we are feeling right now. It will be a completely different experience. In one commentary, speaker on the Srimad Bhagavatam was saying that in the spiritual world, the gulab jamun is waiting for Krishna to taste the gulab jamun, because the gulab jamun is alive. And then Krishna tastes the gulab jamun, and the gulab jamun is in the mouth of Krishna, and Krishna is, you know, the juice of the gulab jamun is, and its texture, and Krishna is tasting all of that. Then from a material conception, we think gulab jamun ka to ho gaya, patta saaf, gulab jamun is finished. But then, once Krishna has completely tasted that gulab jamun, the gulab jamun manifests again. A perverted reflection is in the material hellish planets. There are planets like Tapta Surmi and others. There are planets like, what is that? There are trees with thorns on it. What? What is it called as? Yes. Vajra Kantak Shalmali. Thank you. Vajra Kantak. No, it's like thunderbolts, the thorns, Shalmali, the Shalmali trees. So the person who's supposed to suffer there is taken to the top of the tree, and the tree is only full of thorns like that, right from top to bottom. They are the branches, they are the twigs, they are everything. And the person is first of all thrown onto it, on the top of the tree, so gets pierced, you know, and then pulled down. So I cannot even describe it. No experience about it. I don't remember the experience, if it was any experience. Pulled down and completely in tatters, you know. How do you say it in Hindi? Tukde tukde ho gaye uske. Chindi chindi ho gaya. Completely in bits and tatters. And the next moment, as soon as a person thinks that, okay, I have suffered, karma ka phal pura ho gaya, another body. Again put on the top of the tree. Pushed down. So that is a perverted reflection, that if one has to undergo so much of then pain, then maybe one body is not sufficient enough, so one will get another similar body, again so much pain, another similar body, again so much pain, till the due is, you know, we have received our dues. So Srila Prabhupada said that when we go to the spiritual world, we'll continue chanting Hare Krishna. Once in Nigeria, or Kenya, I think, one of those African countries, Srila Prabhupada had gone for the first visit. And the next day when he was sitting in Srimad Bhagavatam class, he spoke about Krishna and Krishna's form and Krishna's beauty and Krishna's bodily texture. And after the class, one of the devotees there, who was very dark complexioned, he raised his hand and said, "Oh, Swamiji, so Krishna is black?" Because he could relate to it. Krishna is black. And Srila Prabhupada said, "Yes, but not like you. Not black like you." Because Krishna's dark complexion is very attractive. Later on, Another Srimad Bhagavatam class in the morning, Srila Prabhupada was looking around and he could not, his devotees could not find his dhoti. Then he comes to Srimad Bhagavatam class and he finds one of the devotees wearing his dhoti. And in the after class, Srila Prabhupada, you know, just he gave advice to this devotee. He said, one should not use the articles of one's spiritual master. So anyways, the point, that was the second point, that relationship, if relationship is there, then there are circumstances that are going to arise and one will be able to maneuver through that. And if we need help, then we can come to such pages of Srimad Bhagavatam and we should read through those past times. When Srivas Thakur was feeling so very affected, because when he heard Devanand Pandit describe the beautiful pastimes of Krishna from the 10th canto as he's giving class to his followers and his admirers, hearing those verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, and Devanand Pandit was so very expert as speaking those verses, just hearing those verses being narrated, Srivas Thakur went into ecstasy. And in ecstasy, sometimes when devotees who can manifest such deep ecstasy, they are not in control of their bodily movements. Sometimes their bodily movements may appear similar to the bodily movements of someone who has some paralytic attack or someone who has had some mental distress. So because of that, there was some commotion. Other people started looking at him and they started pointing and ladies started giggling and children started laughing and there was some commotion in the audience. So Devanand Pandit just happened to look very gravely at that section. So his disciples understood Guru Maharaj is disturbed. So picked up Srivas Thakur, and they, because he was in ecstasy, they could not make him leave. So they actually physically carried him out of the assembly and left him outside. And when Srivas Thakur finally came back to his regular consciousness in this material world, you know, his external consciousness, he felt a little bit concerned. He was feeling a little bit sad that he was no longer able to hear the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. So what did he do? He went back home, went into his temple room, picked up his Srimad Bhagavatam and started reading it. And as soon as he started reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, he was feeling completely comfortable. He was feeling his distress went away, his sadness went away. In fact, in the Mahaprakasha Leela, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was revealing various things to different devotees, he revealed to Srivas Thakur that, Srivas Thakur, do you remember when Devanand Pandit's assembly, you were feeling a little sad because you could not any longer hear the Srimad Bhagavatam? It was I who incarnated as that inspiration to come and read Srimad Bhagavatam, and I incarnated there, right there, so that I could reciprocate with you and you could reciprocate with me. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we can take lessons from the Srimad Bhagavatam, knowing well where, at what point in our lives we need to take lessons from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Not simply, one way is that we try and remember, and a much more helpful tip is we pick up the Srimad Bhagavatam and we start reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Another helpful tip similar to this is, just as Krishna is incarnated in the book form as Srimad Bhagavatam, similarly he is incarnated in the sound of the holy name, in the form of the holy name. And therefore, if there are certain circumstances where one is not able to maneuver, one is not able to really, one is feeling agitated in certain situations, disturbed in certain situations, then one actually either picks up one's chanting beads and starts chanting Hare Krishna, or one goes into kirtan and starts participating very, very excitedly with our full heart and consciousness in kirtan. There is this beautiful pastime of Srila Prabhupada. He was in a European country and things were not going very well. There was some DT installation taking place. It was all behind the curtains. And finally, things was really that so out of place that the installation could not happen then. That was the pillars were collapsing and the dome over the DTs was about to fall. Things like that. So Srila Prabhupada, seeing the situation, he walked out from behind the curtain and sat down in the audience. And he was a little concerned. So one new visitor to the temple, a young boy, a hippie of sorts. He was inspired. He was sitting right next to Srila Prabhupada and he said, just chant Hare Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada took out his bead bag and started chanting Hare Krishna. And then, you know, that is how the pastime is described by the devotee, that Srila Prabhupada was, he was completely assured that Krishna is in complete control. So that is another way that we can take shelter. Once Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had received news that there were some issues between a couple of devotees. So he called them for Gaur Aarti, and he had this ecstatic Gaur Aarti, and in that Aarti people started dancing and they started crashing against each other, and these devotees started crashing against each other, and after those crashes everything melted away. So that is another way that one can take shelter. So here we can see that how Krishna and Balaram wonderfully reciprocated with both. As the translation of verse 34 says, foster parents and his parents. Pitarao, the word uses Pitarao. Pitarao would mean his elders or his parents. It could also mean many fathers. But obviously in this context it means parents. The translation, the translators are using the word foster parents because they want to keep the mood. You know, Vasudev and Devaki, if they hear us say parents, they will become a little concerned. And Nandan Yashoda Mai do not mind whether they are parents or foster parents, because they know Krishna is theirs completely. So, whatever Krishna wants, if he wants to stay in Vrindavan, let him stay in Vrindavan. If he wants to go to Dwarka, if that is where he is happy, then we'll live in the separation of Krishna. So that is Brajabasi's mood. So the residents of Vrindavan, they won't mind the translation as foster parents. But the residents of Dwarka, they could be concerned, oh, would Krishna leave us and go away? So it's very appropriate that the translators have used the word foster parents. Obviously from the commentaries of our Goswamis, we understand that Krishna is the son of, is the original son of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Baba, and is also the son of Devaki and Vasudev. Shyamasundar Krishna is the son of Yashoda and Nanda Baba, Yashoda Maya and Nanda Baba, and Vasudev Krishna is the son of Devaki and Vasudevji. So that understanding has also been given. So here we can see that Krishna is reconciling the seemingly different emotions that could be manifested between the two parties. However, the verse 32, the present verse that is on the board, explains that how much love these two devotees, these two, let's say, regional sets of devotees had for each other. As soon as Vasudev and the residents of Dwarka would come to Kurukshetra, they saw the Brajabasis, they felt as if their dead bodies had come back to life. Now, what does it mean? Were they already dead in Kurukshetra? Was it that they were really not happy? Why did Krishna bring us here? Why have we come to Kurukshetra? No. The emotions that they felt on seeing a beloved person or seeing you know, someone that they love so much was similar to the emotions that a person who has just been revived. You know? There are many instances where persons actually, they are seemingly dead. You know, they choke up on their on something that they are eating, and they can remember that how they are they were choking up, and that is when they lose consciousness. And then someone intervenes, you know, someone does a tracheostomy, or someone puts their hand in the throat and removes whatever is choking them, and they can breathe. He beats on their chest. They do not immediately start breathing, but they give them, you know, artificial respiration. And when they breathe, and then they remember that they were choking, and suddenly it's, that remembrance is so very intense. They're like, oh! And then they see there's no longer choking. And the feeling that they have, the relief that is there on their face, is like a dead person coming back to life. So, a similar expression, a similar emotion is experienced when one meets someone's beloved. A similar emotion is experienced when the living entity in the state of material consciousness being dead for so long meets Krishna in the state of spiritual consciousness. A similar emotion is expressed. Oh, one is believing, one is meeting one's beloved person. And one embraces Krishna. Krishna embraces. This is explained in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Sanatana Goswami explains through the allegory of Gopakumar that finally when they meet each other, no words are spoken. After such a sojourn in the material world, Gopakumar, who is looking for this very most precious, the only precious tattva in his life, Siddhanta in his life, the only object of all of his love and affection, when he meets him at the foothills of Giriraj, when he meets Shyamsundara Krishna, no words are spoken. They are stunned. Just as when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meets Nityananda Prabhu for the first time at the house of Nandan Acharya, they are stunned. They cannot speak. They fall unconscious. Then they come back to consciousness, start weeping tears of love and affection. Then they embrace. And when they embrace, that breaks a dam of love. And now both of them could actually fall down unconscious, tightly embracing each other. That is how the Brihad Bhagavatamrita describes the meeting of the living entity back with Krishna. And then Krishna, he comes back to consciousness because Balaramji, and then the devotee also comes back to consciousness. And then they are able to speak with each other. Oh, I have missed you for so long. What took you so long? Are Krishna's words. So, like a dead person coming back to life. So here, the Vrishnis, they were similarly feeling as if they are dead. And now they are coming back to life. And this shows their intense affection that the Vrishnis love the Vrijvasis more than they love themselves. Because Krishna was the only object of love and affection for the Vrijvasis. Unadulterated love. The Vrishnis sometimes would be fearful. Dwarkavasis would be fearful. What if Krishna leaves? Because they knew at night he was simply calling out, "Oh Yashoda Maya, oh Nanda Baba, oh Sudam, oh Shridam." But most often, when he was in his deepest of sleep, he would just call out, "Radhe, Radhe, 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 Radhe." So they had experienced all of this. And therefore there was a fear that what if Krishna leaves? But Brijbasis, it was totally unadulterated. Therefore, the affection that the Vrishnis felt for the Brajabasis was more than the affection they had for themselves or for each other also. Now, in terms of the Brajabasis, because of that unadulterated affection for Krishna, the affection they feel for the entire creation is unmeasurable. A resident of Vrindavan has unlimited, super expansive love for the entire creation and compassion for the entire creation. So, the Vrishnis are feeling that love and affection. Now, yesterday, this point was being made by Navin Neeraj Prabhu also, Didrikshaya. What you see is not what it is. I'm just paraphrasing what he was saying. So the same point is somewhat prevalent here. You see, first the Vrishnis, they meet Nand Maharaj, they tightly embrace him, they meet the other Dwarkavasis. And then we see Krishna and Balaram. Krishna and Balaram, they come to offer, they touch their feet of their parents, Nanda Baba, Yashoda Maiya. But they do not allow them to touch their feet. They immediately pick them up and they embrace them. And when they let them go, Krishna and Balaram take the opportunity then to offer obeisances. But as they are doing that, Nanda Baba would not let them do it. Because the next verse, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains
that Nanda Baba caught both of them by their hands. He didn't want to let them. He got their hands to hold after years now. So it's practically like, you know, like a policeman. Sometimes you see, they have to take a person in jail from one place to another. So they, what do they handcuff? They handcuff that person. So Nanda Baba, I'm trying to give just a material example. Because if I say he was holding them so tight that their hands turned white, that is not a good analogy. So he was holding them so tight, it was inseparable. Now, if you're holding someone, imagine how they're going to offer obeisances. So practically, Krishna and Balaram could not offer obeisances till Nand Baba and Yashoda Maiya let them free. And that did not happen according to Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. In the next verse, his commentary will reveal. Till they went inside the tent. And there, what did Nanda Baba do? He took both of them and made them sit on his lap. Now here, they are like, not in their teens. They are like in their 30s, 40s, maybe 50s. Some time frame. They are quite adults. Mix both of, and Nanda Baba is quite old. He was already old when Krishna and Balaram were born. But he picks them up and makes them sit. In those days, there were no selfies and iPhones. So we just have to have devotees under proper direction make paintings, and there could be the windows to the spiritual world. But imagine this selfie if Nanda Baba had taken a selfie and posted it on his Facebook. How many likes would have been there? Nanda Baba posting his selfie with Krishna and Balaram. Imagine the number of likes. Now imagining that, let us try and take that as a supreme selfie over other selfies. It's easy to give up the propensity to have selfies when we imagine Nanda Baba wanting to take a selfie with Krishna and Balaram on his lap in Kurukshetra inside a tent out of so much love and affection. So, we can see that the residents of Vrindavan, when Krishna was in Mathura, they did not come to Mathura. Now he's in Kurukshetra, they make that arduous journey from by bullock carts. Yesterday Navinira Prabhu was making the point. It could take maybe 2 weeks, maybe more. Now Mathura was 8 kilometers, 10 kilometers away. Even in present day times we know that. 20 minutes on a motorcycle or 15 minutes on a motorcycle. Half an hour by a bus. So by bullock cart maybe half a day. Now when Krishna and Balaram went on chariot, it took half a day, little more than that. They started off a little late in the morning and they reached early, you know, night time. The sun had just set and the stars were rising because they were taking a scenic tour. So that much time. Why would the residents of Vrindavan not come? A point is being raised by the acharyas that why did they not come to Mathura to meet Krishna and now they are making this journey to Kurukshetra. And it is all to do with how the residents of Vrindavan, understanding that Krishna is their supreme object of love and affection, he is their master, they have completely sold their lives and their very soul to Krishna. They are completely sold off to him. That they can understand what is Krishna's desire, being inspired by the Shakti of Krishna, by the Yoga Maya potency. So the Yoga Maya potency was inspiring them to be in the mood of separation when Krishna was in Mathura. And when this opportunity did arrive in Kurukshetra, the Yoga Maya potency was inspiring them to have sambhoga, to have milan, or to come and meet each other. So, now the Brajabasis are here because this is what Krishna desires. And that is all that the Brajabasis have in their life. That what does Krishna desire? What do Krishna and Balaram do? They are reciprocating as the sons of Yashoda and Nanda Baba. Never did Krishna and Balaram ever reveal their aspect of supremacy. Even though they are in Kurukshetra, they did not reveal that. So, if the proper philosophical understanding is not there, people may consider Krishna and Balaram just to be ordinary human beings with superpowers. So therefore the point that what we see is not exactly what it is. In the many of the cities in America, because people have such nuclear lives, and they want, a husband and a wife may have their own bank account. In fact, they may eat what they want at the breakfast table. You know, one may take oats, the other may take cereal, and life is very nuclear there. So everyone, and they work at different places, different timings, and because of certain work style also, they need their own vehicle. So just imagine, and everyone there has a car. Their public transport is almost negligible. And vehicular traffic in terms of two-wheelers is not really practical, especially when it's snowing and things like that. So it makes sense that everyone has a car, and imagine so many cars. Therefore, when there's peak time traffic, bumper-to-bumper traffic, they have come with... some of these roads are like 8-lane roads. Many, not some, quite a few of them in the big cities. Still there is bumper-to-bumper traffic. In the morning, if someone has to reach their office at 9 o'clock, they leave their home at 5. If they leave their home at 5 or earlier, 4:30, practically they get up, most of them get up at Brahma Muhurta time. But it is only for meeting their economic needs, economic sense gratification, artha. So they leave, and if they leave at 4:30, they may reach their office at 6 o'clock. But if they leave at 5:30, they'll reach their office at 9 o'clock. Bumper to bumper traffic. So they have come up with another idea, the city officials. There is an HOV lane, high occupancy vehicle lane, which means that what high occupancy in that terms means, if there are two people to a car, it is an HOV, high occupancy. So HOV lane is a special lane meant for more than one person traveling in a car, and the HOV lane is generally quite quick because it's empty. Even in peak time, it cuts down your travel time otherwise by, let's say, more than 3 times or 4 times sometimes, HOV lane. Now people have come up with ideas, and they have cameras that monitor things like that. So once one police official was becoming a little suspicious of one particular car, because the camera was captured, and the camera captures everything. They position the camera such that, you know, at intersections, everyone has to stop. The camera captures the occupancy inside the vehicle. They capture it from back or front along with the license plate, the registration plate. So the camera captured something, and the officer was a little concerned. So the next, he sent out a note to the other officers that when you see this particular registration plate, investigate. On investigation, they found that this car was using the HOV lane for a long time. There was only one human being in the car. Only one person, the driver. In the passenger seat, he had placed a mannequin. You know a mannequin? A doll from the stores. He had put a mannequin there so that he could use the HOV lane and fool the police officials. So, what you see is not what it is. Yes? The cameras captured something, so if the cameras were just, you know, done with the program, then they would say two persons. So what are the things that help us to actually have knowledge of a situation and of the object also? Sometimes it depends on what are our capabilities, how much we are capable of understanding the object. Sometimes, most of the times, many of the times, it is a relationship that we have with the object. And some of it also depends on what the object itself is qualified to be. Now, many a times we put a lot of stress on what we are qualified to understand as. Or, many times wanting things to be just black and white, we consider the object. Arey Baba, this is water, so water. Like once Prabhupada was walking along a lake in winter time, and the lake was frozen, and they had to walk over some ice. Prabhupada took his cane and he cracked the ice. Crack, crack. He said, "What is this?" Devotees said, "Cracked ice." Prabhupada said, "No, this is Maya. Water is not supposed to be in frozen state. This is Maya. And a pure devotee cracks that Maya. The spiritual master helps you with that. So, the understanding, the object, you may say, no, it is ice, it is cracked ice, because that is what the object is stating. If you ask the object, who are you? The object is not going to say, I am the representative of Maya being cracked by a pure devotee of the Lord. The object will say, I am cracked ice. What would the person say? The person would say, oh, this is you cracking the ice. But what does the relationship say? The relationship is that I am the disciple, he is a spiritual master, and in the relationship there is a higher understanding. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sanatana Goswami has left his home. He has walked across the Jharkhand forest, comes to Hajipur. There is given a blanket by his brother-in-law Shrikant, comes to Varanasi. There he understands Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in Varanasi. So immediately goes to the house of Chandrasekharacharya. It's morning time. Mahaprabhu is sitting with Chandrasekharacharya. He says, oh, please go out. There's a great devotee of the Lord. Chandrasekharacharya goes outside, looks around, comes back. He says, my dear Lord, I don't see any devotee. So Lord Chaitanya says, do you see anyone? Yes, I can see a bearded fellow, a Dharavesh. Loosely translated means a Muslim holy man. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, bring him in. Chandrasekhar goes outside and he tells Sanatana Goswami, who has got this long beard, he is wearing this blanket, little disheveled and all that. The Lord wants to see you. He is wanting you to come in. Sanatana Goswami is so happy that the Lord has invited him personally. He goes in. When Lord Chaitanya sees Sanatana Goswami, he is stunned. He immediately goes and embraces Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami starts shivering. Lord Chaitanya is crying tears. Chandrasekhar Acharya is bewildered. Because what he saw is not what it is. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Sanatana says, please my dear Lord, do not touch me, because he feels that he is untouchable. Lord Chaitanya says, but touching you, who is the very embodiment of devotional service to Krishna, your body is like a temple. I am purifying myself. By touching a devotee, one purifies oneself. Sanatana Goswami is speechless. Chandrasekhar Acharya gets a further understanding. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Sanatana Goswami, tells Chandrasekhar Acharya, please take care of him. He is Sanatana. First he makes Sanatana sit down and says, how did you come here? Sanatana tells him the entire story. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, oh, Krishna saved you from the Maharaur of hell. Now what does, see, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, first he sees him as a pure embodiment. Now he's telling him, Krishna saved you. Another viewpoint, another understanding. Chandrasekhar Acharya is hearing all of this. Then Chandrasekhar Acharya takes him to the bank of the Ganga. There he engages a barber. Barber shaves him up. He takes a bath in the Ganga. He gives him new clothes. Sanatana Goswami says, could you please give me old cloth? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he hears this, becomes very happy. Sanatana Goswami is brought back. Tapan Mishra comes, because every day Lord Chaitanya goes to his house to take prasad. He invites Sanatana Goswami also when he hears Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami, in fact, later on the Maharashtrian Brahmin comes and he says, please, as long as you are in Varanasi, please take lunch at my house every day. Sanatana Goswami says, I will do Madhukari because that is my vocation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes very pleased. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes lunch and then he says, where is Sanatana? He has not taken lunch. And Chandrasekhar Tapan Mishra says, my dear Lord, Sanatana is very tired. So he is taking a little rest. He is engaged somewhere else. You please take your lunch. You take rest and we'll give Sanatana later on. And the remnants are given to Sanatana, who becomes so very happy to receive the remnants of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Sanatana Goswami comes to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After he's taken a little rest, that is a later part of the day. And he comes with that new blanket that was given by Shrikant, his brother-in-law. Everything else is old clothes, his beard is gone, he's shaven-headed. And Lord Chaitanya is so happy to see Sanatana. But then Sanatana could see that Lord Chaitanya is not really happy seeing the blanket on him. So he goes and trades off that blanket with another beggar on the banks of the Ganga. And the beggar says, yes, you can take my old quilt for this blanket. So we see that how in this incidence, Lord Chaitanya is expressing so many viewpoints through his interaction with Sanatana Goswami. Hence, the scriptures, they give us an understanding that neither the person can actually give a proper definition of what the object is, and neither the object can claim that this is what I am. It is a relationship that actually gives us knowledge of our connection with an object. And many years ago, I was listening to one of the lectures of Bhakti Vidya Purna Maharaj, and he made a very good point, and I want to quote that. He says that three men walk into a temple, and there is a young lady in her teens, let us say in her 20s, who's there in the temple. All three of these men will look at her in a different way. One person looks at her and says, Beti. And he has that kind of relationship. My daughter. Another person says, wife. And he has that kind of relationship. Another person says, mummy. Has that kind of relationship. Same object. But the object cannot define what that object is. It is a relationship that defines what that object is. The same person, at one point of time, like according to the Hindu customs, when the Pani Grahan is done, when the hand of the girl is given into the hand of the boy, the relationship changes. The same person is now saying, you are my daughter, and now says, you are the daughter-in-law of that family. So even the person cannot define what the object can be. It is a relationship that defines what the object is. And that brings us to the final story that I want to tell you. Related to this incident. After Kurukshetra, Krishna and Balaram come back to Dwaraka. One day Krishna, this is narrated by Sanatana Goswami in his writings. One day Krishna, he sees Mother Devaki is a little, very much deep in thoughts. She has this forlorn look, this longing on her face. Krishna says, Mother Devaki, what is it? And says, Krishna, this was the first time in Kurukshetra, I can never forget that. When you saw Mother Yashoda and Mother Yashoda saw you, and the bond between the both of you, and the affection, that is so unparalleled, that seeing that brought tears to my eyes. I forgot everything else. And all I can think of is how Mother Yashoda, you were in the arms of Mother Yashoda, and Mother Yashoda was so gently caressing you, and she was kissing you, and that affection. And Krishna was smiling. And Mother Devaki, she said, I wish to see that form. So Krishna said, my dear mother, why are you feeling so forlorn? If you want to see that form, you are my mother. I'll reveal that form to you. And Krishna revealed the form of Yashoda Nandan to Mother Devaki. And when Mother Devaki saw that form, she was so overwhelmed. Tears started just pouring out of her eyes. And on seeing that form, Mother Devaki was so touched. She offered obeisances to that form. And Sanatana Goswami says, Mother Devaki's love for Krishna is as Devaki Nandan. That is her adhikar. And when by Krishna's mercy she was revealed the form of Yashoda Nandan, the awe and reverence of Mother Devaki overwhelmed her affection, and she had to offer obeisances to Krishna. So why didn't she offer obeisances in Kurukshetra to that form? Because of the prevalence of Mother Yashoda's presence and her love. By her presence, Mother Devaki could actually taste the love between Yashoda and Yashoda Nandan. But when her presence was not there, it was her desire, then she could not, because that relationship was not manifesting. The relationship of Devaki with Yashoda Nandan was not manifesting. It was a relationship of Devaki in awe and reverence, not as the mother of Krishna, but awe and reverence. Oh, this is so magnificent. This emotion is so unparalleled. This relationship is so unparalleled. So hence, in spiritual life, there is the aspect of relationship or rasa, and there is the aspect of adhikar. None of this can be bought in the material world. But still, Rupa Goswami says that can be bought by laulya, greed for Krishna, or rati for Krishna. Krishna visaya, visaya rati. If someone has this constant affection for Krishna, Krishna visaya rati, as the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu states, then that is sthayi bhava. Sthayi bhavotra saproktaha Krishna visaya rati. That is called as Krishna, that is called as sthayi bhava. Or that is one's actual state of existence, is sthayi bhava. But the adhikar has to be there. And that adhikar has been explained in simple words by the acharyas. That every living entity is eternally part and parcel of Krishna and has an eternal relationship with Krishna. An eternal relationship with Krishna. In the mood of sadhana, when we are given the adhikar to be a servant of Krishna, we are given that. We try to actually be a servant. We force ourselves to be a servant. But we must always remember that the adhikar to become a servant of Krishna was given by the acharyas and a spiritual master, coming in the lineage of Nityananda Prabhu and Srimati Radharani. So that adhikar in the mood of sadhana, of dasya bhav, will purify all the contamination of the heart and reveal this sthayi bhava. And then this sthayi bhava will manifest. Obviously, there has to be there are constant instructions by the Acharya Parampara, the instructions by our spiritual master and spiritual masters. That is revealed. And when that remains constant, then that is called as Krishna Vishayarati. And Krishna Vishayarati is not a matter of wanting. It is simply a matter of being revealed. So Krishna consciousness, as has been taught to us, is about serving and revelation. However, it can be misconstrued as possessing and wanting. That has to be avoided. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.